Hare Krishna. Om Agyanta Maranda Shajananjana Shalakaya Chakshuramanitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. We are born in the darkness of ignorance. Our spiritual master is opening our heart with the torchlight of knowledge. And therefore we offer our most humble and respectful obeisances in the dust of his lotus feet. Today is the auspicious appearance day of Lord Narasimhadev, half man, half lion, incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How many of you in this room have heard of Lord Narasimhadev? Please raise your hand. Okay. Anybody in this room who has never heard of Lord Narasimhadev, please raise your hand. Anybody in this room ever heard of his devotee, servant, Prahlad Maharaj? Raise your hand. Well, something happened to the microphone. I don't know, maybe the battery ran out, or maybe my battery ran out. I didn't know it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Okay, so anyway, how many in the room have never heard of Prahlad Maharaj? How many in the room would like to have the qualities and mentality of Prahlad Maharaj? Raise your hands. Okay, so I think you know where I'm going. We have a rule. We don't live by assumptions. We only go by actual facts. So there's one very nice verse and purport. It just so happens that I'm actually on, let's see here. The next chapter, 10, is where I'm at. I just finished reading the whole pastime of Lord Narasimhadev's appearance day, Narada Muni instructing Yudhisthira Maharaj about the principles of Varna and Ashram, etc. So I came across this verse, and I'd like to share it with this community with a particular purpose in mind. And that we'll discuss after I read it. I'll just read the translation and the commentary. My dear Lord Narasimhadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Mount of Ratta. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals, elevated people can call people fools and rascals. Giriraj Swami explained that about 6 months ago here. I think many of you were present. Prahlad Maharaj, Mahajan, Srila Prabhupada, qualified to call people fools and rascals. So Giriraj Swami says, I won't do it. I'll just read what Prabhupada and the great sages said and leave it to everybody's discrimination to accept or reject. I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring back to shelter, bring them back to your shelter at your lotus feet. So we began by asking, how many of you have heard of Lord Narasingadev? And then we asked how many hadn't. And then we asked how many have heard of Prahlad Maharaj and how many hadn't. And it was a unanimous decision that everybody had heard of Lord Narasingadev and everybody had heard of Prahlad Maharaj. So having heard of these personalities, I asked the question, who would like to have the qualities and mentality of Prahlad Maharaj? Now, Prahlad Maharaj in this verse is revealing his heart. Dadati Pritiganati. This is the system which is established by Srila Rupa Goswami. That amongst devotees, we share gifts. We give gifts. When someone comes, we give them a gift. And when we give them a gift, they give us a gift. It's a gift-giving system. Then there is a second part, which is revealing one's mind in confidence and confidentially revealing one's mind. The essential word in this part of the verse is confidential. Because the heart, as everybody knows, has many anarthas, which we know to mean unwanted things. There are many anarthas within the heart. And they're hard to reveal. Most of the time, if you ask somebody how you are, they'll say, oh, I'm fine, Maharaj, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. I've explained before that I experienced that people have a very superficial understanding of these exchanges. When I happen to have to go shopping, which is not very often in Dallas because there are so many wonderful Vaishnavas that don't let me do anything, that do everything for me, including the shopping. But when I do go out, the person that's at the desk or cash register, they'll say, and how are you? And I'll say, undergoing the stringent laws of the threefold modes of material nature, and I'm suffering like an animal caged in this material world. How are you? Or I'll say, I'm on a sliding scale, somewhere in between birth, death, old age, and disease. How are you doing? They don't understand. I mean, they, you know, well, 9 out of 10 times they take a step back and they say, what'd you say? So we give them a little explanation. This is the purpose of life. You see, the whole thing is to inquire about self-realization or to inquire about the well-being of others on a spiritual platform. So when somebody asks me how I am, I assume they mean myself, the spirit soul within this body, not the cage that I'm encaptured in, not the cage that I'm residing in. I think they're asking, essentially, how are you? Maybe next time I'll say, do you know what I am? I could come up with many, you know, there's many different answers to their questions. So this is the beginning. This is an opening. This is a little crevice, a little crack in the wall. When someone asks you how you are, you can say, I'm an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord, captured in the material world and undergoing the threefold miseries. If they ask you what the threefold miseries are, you can tell them. Problems caused by my own body and mind. Problems caused by other people's bodies and minds. Problems caused by material nature. I just read today these threefold miseries, it was actually in one of the verses, both, all of them are mentioned, adiatmika, adibhautika, adidaivika. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, he said, adidaivika, he says, like earthquakes. How many of you heard about the earthquake over in Nepal? Everybody heard about it. Natural disturbances. What can you do? What can we do to help? We can rebuild the city. But what does that do? What is the real help that's needed? The real help that's needed is being described here by Prahlad Maharaj. Now I assume that since everybody, and many of my friends know, every time I use the word assume, if you divide the letters up, which I won't do here, you can understand the meaning of the word. A-S-S-U-M-E. And you can divide them up as you like. So I would assume that since everybody here has heard of Nrisingadev and Prahlad Maharaj, that you're all in one sense or one level or another devotees of the Supreme Lord. So as devotees of the Supreme Lord, we have an opportunity to learn from Prahlad Maharaj. There are 12 Mahajans. Prahlad Maharaj is one. Mahajans means a great teacher, 12 great teachers. And Prahlad Maharaj is saying that there are many saintly people. So devotee means saintly person. That's what devotee means. Devotee means that they are saintly by character. They have given up the vices of material life. Inappropriate activities have been given up. I was just talking with a young man today, and we were talking about, I was reading several chapters of the Bhagavad Gita while he was visiting, and we were discussing rules and regulations. And I told him, I said, I break so many every day. He says, Maharaj, you don't break any rules and regulations. I see you all the time. I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada said we must follow rules and regulations, the big ones and the little ones. The big ones, we have maybe made some progress, but the little ones, we have to pay a little more attention to make sure that we're actually collecting up all the dust. All the dust. It's been accumulated there for many, many, many millions and millions of lifetimes. So Prahlad Maharaj says that although there are many saintly people, but most of them, they're not interested in caring for people who reside in the big cities and towns. Dallas is a big city. Most saintly people, they wouldn't want to have anything to do with this place. I'm not even a saintly person, and I don't really want to have much to do with it, practically speaking. I was listening to a lecture by His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu, and he was about to say, he said, just like there's so much advertisement out there. He said, just like if you drive on the 101, you'll see so many billboards that say, and he goes, never mind, I'm not even going to say it. I don't want to darken the atmosphere in the temple. But as I drive around Dallas, we're bombarded. We are assaulted. Assault is against the law. If I assault someone, I can go to jail. But modern corporations, modern businesses, they assault us every single time. Every single moment, they're assaulting us. Not only assaulting, but actually insulting. Which is worse? We can do a linguistic analysis and comparison. But we're being assaulted and insulted all the time. Why? We're being assaulted because by nature we're a spirit soul, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have an eternal relationship with Him. And modern society is trying to convince us that we have absolutely nothing to do with that. That our real purpose of life is to eat, drink, and be merry. But Prahlad Maharaj says here, he says that I know. Prahlad Maharaj isn't speculating. Prahlad Maharaj understands. He heard. How do we know things? By hearing. Hearing is the number one sense for gathering knowledge. Prabhupada used to always say this because people would often say to him, "Can you show me God?" His reply was, "Do you have the eyes to see?" And how do we get the eyes to see the Lord? Through submissive oral reception. Submissive oral reception of the glories and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prahlad Maharaj states that I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, no one can become happy. We're being assaulted at every moment, saying that if we neglect our relationship with the Lord and accept the idea of engaging our senses and activities of the sense objects, that we'll become happy. I was just giving a talk the other day. I can't remember where it was. Maybe it was here. Anyway, senior moment. I gave a class a long time ago in Rollins College. It's a small liberal arts college in Orlando, or Winter Park, Florida. Orlando, it's all the same. And a nice professor was the religion course, you know, beginning religion course. And so I told the students, I said, I'm a very intense person by nature. I'm a little soft-hearted, but I have a little intensity. Those who know me know that. And I said, I'm willing to do anything to get the very best. Now, I have discovered through my search that Krishna consciousness is the best, based on that which those who have really sought the truth have understood what the best really is. So I challenged them. I said, just show me one case of someone who became successful in the material world. If there's one case where someone became successful, it was Wednesday night. I gave this example Wednesday night. I did give class this week. If we can get just show one case of success in the material world, then I will have hope that I can also become successful in the material world. And therefore, I will put all my energy into achieving that success. The proof is, I said, I've given up illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating. I spend 3, 4, 5 hours a day in meditation and prayer. I don't engage in so many things which modern people engage in to become happy, but rather try to find happiness residing in the core of the heart. I said, if I'm willing to do that, then I'm willing to do anything. Just show me one case. Now, Rollins College is this was in the 80s when I gave this class. In those days, it was about $20,000 a year to go to school there for 1 year. It's probably more now. It's a very expensive school. So the kids that go there, they're either athletes that got a scholarship, or their parents were athletes and gave them a scholarship. And they're very expensive. So they come from very influential families, those who have the facility to actually strive or make efforts or move towards trying to find happiness in the material world in a way which is beyond most people's facility. And not one student could raise their hand and confess, yes, Maharaj, I can show you one success case. No success cases. I was reading today, Srila Prabhupada was explaining that, and it's actually in this Bhagavatam in the next chapter, that how the materialistic person, they try to gain more and more money. One verse actually said, money is the honey. Money is the honey. But the more they accumulate, the more anxiety they achieve. We're thinking that if I get more, see, the story is Prahlad Maharaj the great devotee of Lord Narsingadev, he was given the kingdom of his father, Hiranyakashipu, which was practically the entire universe. And he decided to go with his associates to see and search out, you know, see the world and search out the saintly association which was available there. And in so doing, he came across a person who was lying on the ground, engaged in a particular type of austerity or practice which is known as the python. The python just sits there and he waits very patiently. And if something comes his way, he eats it. And if nothing comes his way, he doesn't eat. And he patiently waits. So Prahlad Maharaj saw this python man laying there. And because Prahlad Maharaj actually understood the symptoms of spiritual realization within someone's heart, because he had it within his, he could actually perceive the elevation, the elevated state of this python man. He actually inquired from him, "My dear sir," I mean, after a little praise, he said, "I can understand that you're an ascetic and you're just sitting here and you're actually have given up all materialistic activities. Yet I see you're quite fat." That's a bad word nowadays, right? I'm sorry. But that's what the Bhagavatam said. "I see you're quite," well, I'll use another word. "I see you're quite chubby." He said fat, but well. "I see you're quite fat, and so I'm kind of curious. If all you do is sit here, how is it possible for you to get so fat?" And the python man explained that, "I have discovered that what is the value of pursuing materialistic activities? What is the value in those things?" He said, "The more you pursue, the more you want. You never come to a satiation point in your material quest. Because our material quest isn't that which can facilitate our heart's desire. Our heart's desire is to be one in union with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this case, Narasimha, or Lord Krishna. This is our heart's desire. But we're placing our heart, we're giving our heart in the wrong place. We're giving our heart to the dictates of our senses, to the dictates of the mind, to the propagation of materialistic endeavors. And our heart is being broken over and over and over again." Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, he says, I know by my experience that no one can become happy unless they take shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this purport, which I won't read the whole thing, but I read it earlier, so I'll just summarize. Basically, Srila Prabhupada mentions that this is the decision of a Vaishnava. Decision means we have option for choice. We can choose what we're going to do within the limitations of our acquired material body, which includes our mind and intelligence. We have ability to choose according to the body which we've been given. Now, the ones that I'm addressing here are the human beings in the room. The human beings. Anyway, I'll just tell a little funny story. One time there was a young girl, cool kid, and everybody knows I tease the kids. There was one little girl, she was about 4 years old. I used to tease her. Her name was Rohini. So I used to call her Rohin the Bean. She was about 3 years old, 3 or 4 years old. So one day I was with her mother and father and a few other people, and she came running up, and I go, "Oh, Rohin the Bean, how are you?" And she goes, "Oh, Maharaj, you know, always Rohin the Bean, Rohin the Bean." I said, "Rohin the Bean, what kind of bean are you?" And she says, "Maharaj, I'm a human being." All my years of practice trying to tease the kids was deflated, destroyed, annihilated within one sentence of a three-year-old child. So anyway, we're addressing the human beings within this room. Those who have achieved through their credits, a human body. I was reading today that after undergoing a particular evolution Prabhupada gives this word evolution. He says modern evolution is wrong. Because modern evolution, you're always going up. But he said, according to Vedic literature, you go up and you can go down. And they said, Darwin forgot the downward side. Because you can go up and you can go down. So Prabhupada was explaining that when you come up through all the different species of life and you, you know, have served your sentence, you've served your time, and you are now allotted, what do you call it? A halfway house. Halfway house experience, the human life. A life where you can make a choice. So it's being described here that Prahlad Maharaj, his choice was that I don't care for my own liberation. Because wherever I am, in this material world, whether I'm in Swarga or whether I'm in Patala, it doesn't matter to me because I'm always with the Supreme Lord within the core of my heart. I'm always with the Supreme Lord within the core of my heart. But what ails my heart is seeing that other people, they are suffering, yet they're not taking the medicine. This was Lord Chaitanya's mission also. Lord Chaitanya, through the poetry of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I'll shout here, Maya. I've come with the medicine in the form of the holy name of the Lord. And therefore, please take this chanting of Hare Krishna. Please take to it. So here in the commentary, Srila Prabhupada mentions that this is the decision of a Vaishnava, the pure devotee of the Lord. For himself, he has no problems. I guess next time when I go to the store, they'll say, how are you? I'll say, I have no problems. And they'll probably think I'm just like everybody else. I won't say that. I have too much fun the other way. For him, he has no problems, even if he has to stay in the material world, because his main business is Krishna consciousness. Main business. Not secondary business, main business. Sometimes we get it a little mixed up. Prabhupada used to complain that in modern Western society and even within India, the whole world, he said that throughout the week people go on their way merrily, merrily, doing their activities, and then on Sunday they pay tribute to the Lord. But Krishna consciousness is not like that. We daily, minute by minute, we associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead through transcendental knowledge. Through this transcendental knowledge of Krishna consciousness, we no longer are an illusion about the material energy. And we see its ultimate purpose. The ultimate purpose in the material energy has, it's twofold basically. One is because we desire to be separate from Krishna and try to enjoy as Krishna enjoys. He provides the material world for us to make that attempt. But in due course of time, due to frustration with those attempts not being fulfilled, one turns his consciousness, one turns their consciousness towards trying to understand the principle of why I'm trying to be happy, but yet I cannot achieve it in this material world. And he begins to inquire about the nature of this world, the nature of himself, the nature of the person who brings out this whole material creation and the creation of himself. And at that point, it is a very, very auspicious moment for the sojourn of the living entity. So Prahlad Maharaj, he makes this conscious decision. Conscious decision. As what I'm appealing to everyone here. I'm appealing to myself. When I read this, I thought to myself, I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing enough for myself. And how do you do more for yourself? By giving yourself to others. That which is of the greatest value. And there is nothing of greater value than this process of Krishna consciousness. This is the mood. This is the consciousness. This is the aspirations of Prahlad Maharaj, of whom everyone in the room said they would like to become like. Everyone in this room said, I'd like to become like Prahlad Maharaj. So what is the process for doing that? It's called stepping outside the comfort zone. We develop a comfort zone. That which does not create any pressure. We don't want any pressure. We don't want any Don't tell me what to do, man. I mean, whatever, you know. We don't want anybody pushing. We need to push a little bit from inside. There's an example that dry grass is very, very easily ignited, but it needs something to spark it. So that's my hope. My hope is that because I read this, the little spark came in my heart that we need to give Krishna consciousness out in mass to everyone, to every single person within this community, within this country, within the world, within the universe, as Prabhupada said. There's an urgent need, a very urgent need. And by doing so, one achieves something very, very special. In the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna tells Arjuna that one who teaches his science of Krishna consciousness, of Bhagavad Gita, to others is the most dear to me. And there will be no one more dear to me than that person who distributes this information of Bhagavad Gita and Krishna consciousness to other living entities. Srila Prabhupada came to the West. I assume you all know who Srila Prabhupada is, the founder, Acharya. Acharya means one who teaches by his example, the founder, Acharya, of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. He came to America alone. He said, in the beginning I had nothing, absolutely nothing, no one. But yet he said, I had the instruction from my spiritual master deeply embedded in the core of my heart, that teach or preach Krishna consciousness to the Western people. Teach it to the Western people. Which is devoid, basically devoid of understanding of anything to do with spiritual life, true spiritual life. That which will actually give substance. So here we are, listening to the Swami sitting on the chair, inviting everyone. If you want to be happy, we have to become Krishna conscious. How do we become Krishna conscious? By hearing. We were discussing with my friend Keshava Bharati Maharaj that the essence is hearing. We hear about the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. We hear about the nature of our soul, the nature of this material world, the nature of the Supreme Lord, how these things are combined together, and how we can slowly and progressively march out. Not just lackadaisically, you know, one day in, one day out, one day here, one day there, but we actually have marching orders from the Guru and Krishna that we must get out of this material world. We must make effort. So it's being described here that this is the decision. So I'm asking everyone, and myself, including as part of everyone, to make a decision. Make a decision to change not only your life, but the life of the person living next door to you, and the person living next door to the person next door, and the person living next door to the person living next door to the person living next door. And if we wanted to wait a couple more hours, we could just continue it down to the whole neighborhood, and we won't do that. But you understand what I'm saying. That this will create a sense of well-being, not only for ourselves, but for everybody else who comes in contact with us. Just like today, which was very rare, I went out, and it was very rare that I didn't wear my devotional clothes. I only had to go one place to get one thing. So I went, but I had tilak on. And the lady behind the counter said, "Oh, you've been outside for a long time?" I said, "No, I haven't been outside. I am not 5-10 minutes. She said, "Well, you got pollen all over your forehead." So that was about an hour later, she finally understood what Tilak meant that we're a temple of the body is a temple of the Lord, and we're meant to serve the Lord, and we're not the body, and we're this and we're that. And by the time she was done, she took a book and got my business card. This is the purpose. We all have to go shopping. I proved it today because I went. Whoops, I got my wrong bag. Every time I go shopping with a bag, not one of those recycled ones. Well, it can be a recycled one. But inside it is weapons. And they get through the metal detector. When I go through the stores, they don't beep. But they're more powerful weapons than nuclear bombs. Anybody have an idea what they are? Srila Prabhupada's books, yeah. No, can I embarrass? No, I'm not going to embarrass. That's not proper. I invite you all to get through the temple a arsenal of weapons. This is America. We're allowed to have weapons. We have the right to bear arms. So let's bear our arms, right? We have the right to bear arms. So we will arm ourselves with transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge. Knowledge beyond material conception. And as we proceed through our daily affairs, whomever we meet, we give them an opportunity to see and experience true happiness in the form of Krishna consciousness. Give them the opportunity. They have a choice. They can take it or leave it. And we have a choice to approach them or not to approach them. I remember one time, I'll just give a little story. We were distributing books at Wet and Wild in Orlando. So it was a pretty far out place. It was a legal spot. It was within the city limits. It was on the sidewalk. The parking lot was across the street. People would park their cars and they would walk right down the street right by us. So we were distributing books, and one day it got a little, you know, the traffic got a little slow towards the end of the day. In the morning, it's, you know, a lot of people come in, you miss a few. But towards the middle of the day, you know, fewer people are coming in. So you have to take turns with your Sankirtan partner. You know, each person comes, you trade off. First, I get one, you get one, I get one, you get one. So there's one lady who was walking down the sidewalk. And my friend goes to me, "Oh, God, why did I get this one?" I said, "What's wrong?" He goes, "Oh, I know these kind. They never take books. You can have it. And the next one, I'll give you my turn." So I approached the lady and I gave her a book. And I said, "Where are you from?" And she goes, "Amsterdam. I'm from Holland." He thought she was from Alabama. And I gave her a book, Bhagavad Gita, and she said, "Oh, I've been looking for this." Oh, I forgot the story. Part of the story was, he said, "You go ahead and have her. And if she takes a book, I'll get down on the ground and I'll kiss the sidewalk." So the lady came and she saw Bhagavad Gita. She said, "Oh, I've been looking for this book." And she gave me like $10. And I looked at my partner and he said, "All right, all right." And down he went and he kissed the ground. So now, the purpose of me telling this story is, you'll be amazed. You'll never know. It is inconceivable who will take a book and who won't. The most unsuspected person may, and the most other one may not. Our duty is simply to try. Our duty is simply to make the approach. Give them the chance to choose. If they don't have a chance to choose good from bad, or materialistic life from spiritual life, then they don't have a chance. So this is Prahlad Maharaj's emphasis tonight. This is Prahlad Maharaj's emphasis. His emphasis is that I don't want to be liberated by myself. I want everybody to come with. Just like if you're going to have some kind of festival, you want to have everybody come. You want to go by yourself. In fact, this morning, one of my friends, he said, I guess I shouldn't tell this one. Anyway, he said, I went to some engagement last night. I said, oh, who'd you go? He said, I went by myself. I said, what was that like? Yeah. All by yourself? Anyway, everybody needs personal time, right, with themselves. That's a whole lecture. I won't go there. So does anybody here not understand what we're trying to say tonight? Is it clear? Can anybody here? No, I won't make you raise your hands. Just let us know if you have an interest in this idea. Have an interest in actually giving Krishna consciousness to others, as is the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, of whom the worshipful Lord is Lord Nrisimhadeva. Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared because Prahlad Maharaj was being tormented by his father. He was a devotee. Prabhupada explains many places that the devotees oftentimes are disturbed by materialistic things in the material world. So as I was saying earlier, we're all being disturbed by the materialistic propaganda, the materialistic environment. So the Lord appears in the form of the scripture. So we have an opportunity to associate with the Supreme Lord. Yesterday I sent a little email out to a friend describing the need for hearing and chanting, reading scripture and chanting the holy names. And he sent me a very nice quote from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which states that Srila Prabhupada states that every one of us needs to study Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, very, very, systematically and determined study. In the first verse of the Bhagavad Gita, scrutinizingly, that's the word I'm looking for. It's in the first purport to the first verse of the Bhagavad Gita. We need to scrutinizingly study these books so that we can overcome the onslaught of material nature. When it presents itself before us, we have the strength, based on spiritual knowledge, to overcome. And we share that strength with others because we can see that they're unhappy in the material world. The plastic smile on the face dwindles. It dwindles. It has no real permanence. It has no real existence. So as Prahlad Maharaj explains here, that therefore, my dear Lord Nrisimhadeva, I wish to bring them back to the shelter of your lotus feet. And if we go out every day with this mood, that Krishna, please send at least one person to me today that I can give a little Krishna consciousness to. Please allow me. I want to bring them back to the shelter of your lotus feet. Bhagavad Gita describes everything set in motion by desire. Everything is set in motion by desire. So what is our desire? That we have to take count of. If our desire is to enjoy like the fruit of workers or the mental speculators, then that's what we'll achieve. But the devotees, they get something different. The devotees have a desire for Krishna. And that desire manifests when they share that desire with others. So we'll stop here on Lord Nrisimhadeva's appearance day. We take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Nrisimhadeva, who destroys Rim, rim. What is that verse? That really beautiful. I used to know that rim. I used to like that part, the rim, rim part, because it's like very heavy, you know. Rim, rim. Destroy, destroy. The anartas in our heart. Just as you bifurcated, just as you tore to shreds the abdomen of Hiranyakashipu, please tear to shreds the unwanted things in my heart and allow me to appreciate the holy name of Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Anybody disagree? Who's in charge of the book room here? If you have a need for books, our friend here, who usually does the announcements, can facilitate any need for books. He's a weapons distributor. Don't tell the police. That's why the saying police reminds me, yesterday one of my friend's son's birthday is coming up, so I send him a note, when's your son's birthday? And he said, oh, May 13th. I said, okay, what's your address? So he texts me his address. I said, okay, great. Now I know where to send the police. And he cracked up, you know, all those LOLs and HHH, ha 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 ha. Anybody, what's the word? Unwilling? Or no, I want to say that. Everyone, please try to absorb the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. Try to absorb it. Because by absorbing the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, in many places through this reading, because I've been reading for the last several weeks this canto, it's described that Prahlad Maharaj was the best of devotees. So if we want to become the best of devotees, we can take on the mentality of Prahlad Maharaj. So is our dramatic speaker here. Sorry? What's his name? Prajapati. Prajapati Prabhu. I haven't seen him. You know, he's quite a large fellow. We would have saw him. Okay. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nrisimha Bhagavan ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.
His Holiness Prithad Vijay Maharaj ki jai.